8 today, John 18, verse 38 through John 19, verse 16. And we're in the third trial, Jesus before Pilate, and it's part 3 of our of these trials. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Father in heaven, we pray, asking that you would open our eyes and our ears, that we might hear what the Spirit has to say to us through the Scriptures. We pray that our love for you would increase, that our awe of you would increase, that we would see you truly as the sovereign Lord who didn't have sinful humanity act upon him, but you acted upon sinful humanity. We pray that you would be gracious to us today, that we could hear, see, and understand. I pray for any who might be having a hard time concentrating today or paying attention or listening or focusing, that just for a few moments they would yield themselves, each one, to your Holy Spirit, that though their ears hear the voice of a feeble man, their heart may hear the voice of the Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. So John chapter 18, now start at verse 38. It's the last sentence, if you remember, before Pilate, when Jesus is with Pilate the first time, then we surmised that perhaps at this point in time he sent Jesus to Herod after Pilate asked the question, what is truth? So verse 38, what is truth? Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. That's supposed to stand out to us. The difference between Christ who's being crucified and Barabbas is Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews, Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here is the man, or better yet, as the King James says it, Behold the man. As soon as the chief priest and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify! But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jews insisted, We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. I wonder if he was more indignant when he asked that question. Let's settle this. I want the home run word from you that will let you be set free. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate puffs his chest forward. I'm sorry, I added that myself. Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or to crucify you? And Jesus answered him, You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. Jesus, for this moment, with words, puts the people that are accusing him of blasphemy, he puts them on trial. He judges them. Jesus came to save, but here for a moment, with words, he's judged Pilate through silence, judged Herod through silence, he judged Pilate through silence, he judges the Jewish people who turned him over with words. Verse 12, from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. As if they love Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down at the judge's seat at a place known as the Stone Pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews, but they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. And then this, finally Pilate handed him over to be crucified. Doesn't it about make you shudder when you read this to think how loose men played with the life of the Son of God? How loose they played with the life of the Son of God. Now, did they know Jesus was the Son of God? They adamantly refused to believe it. They fought so hard to refuse to believe that he was the Son in light, in spite of the facts that were set before them. They saw and they heard. They heard words spoken with authority like no one else had ever spoken, and they saw with their eyes works that they themselves said works that only God can do. And they attributed those works to demons. They're playing fast and loose with the life of the Son of God. That is damnable. And people are playing fast and loose with Jesus Christ today. We have to warn people, do not mock God who sent his Son. It is eternal in consequence. How you receive Jesus Christ. We see Jesus silent before Herod, which says so much. Herod says, "Tell me, who are you? Where do you come from?" These questions. And he already knew the answers to that. Maybe if you tell me one more time, it won't be true. Or maybe if you tell me one more time, it'll give me time to mount another argument to set you free. When Herod sent Jesus back, he sent him back in a purple robe. He sent back a bloody, beaten, weary Jesus, who obviously in his Herod's mockery of putting the robe and the crown on Jesus was an effort to say, "Okay, you want your charade? Here's your king. Hail, king! Hail, king! You can have your time. Go ahead, go away." And he sends him back. Pilate receives him with the robe on, allows him to suffer public disgrace and a mockery. It's a degradation of the person of Jesus Christ. Now we would say, yeah, but they didn't know. But you can make the argument that there was evidence that they should have at least had a high regard for him. Fair enough. But they did not have a high regard. They had a very low regard. They kept him in the lowest estate. And yet, you can make connection to our day today. Enough evidence, enough testimony, enough witness has been borne to Jesus Christ, and yet people will still almost, I'll grant you that he was a great teacher. Just like Herod, I'll grant you a moment to be like a king. Pilate receives him, and he still has the purple robe on. It's just very tragic. And we should mourn for people today that have played fast and loose with Jesus Christ. Sometimes people ask the question, why did these terrible things happen to him? Those are good questions. Questions that we can give answers to. Jesus came to save sinners. Why was he tortured? Why was he beaten? He stood in our place. It was a play, a drama depicting, literally, real-time drama, depicting what would be the outcome for all who stand under the wrath of God. When you see the earthly authorities take authority over the prisoner Jesus, and in their limited but great power, punish Jesus, It is but a mere picture. And it should cause us to quake when we think about human beings standing before a holy God who has absolute authority and whose judgments are right. We're offended when we see these trials, what we've watched with Jesus and Pilate and Jesus and Herod. We're offended by the foolishness because we believe in Jesus Christ and we almost think, what's wrong with you people? How could you judge him wrongly? That's a travesty of justice, but in the heart of every human being, there is a knowledge, there will be a knowing, even those who are judged to an eternal hell, there will be a knowledge and a declaration, what you have done, God is right. On that great judgment day, there will be no outcry of injustice, injustice, it'll all be known as true. And I think part of what we see when we see these trials, we're at a loss for how do we respond because we think they didn't. We will always say they really didn't know, but they knew. And they had the authority. Pilate here had the authority to set Jesus free. Well, I'm glad that he didn't. And Jesus had already said two times in the Gospel of John the kind of death he was going to die. At least two times, it's arguably four. But John writes, and Jesus said this, to indicate what kind of death he would die. You know, Jesus couldn't have died by crucifixion. He wouldn't have been hung on a tree if it wasn't for going through the Roman court system. Stoning, what if Jesus would have been stoned? When we're going to talk about the crucifixion next week, but what if Jesus would have been stoned? How reliable would the scripture be? And well, not very, because the Bible is very adamant. This Christ, this servant of the Lord, would be hung on a tree. So I think it matters, and we know that it's so important for us to see this, that it had to happen. Don't be one of those, if you are one, and you've said this before, it's true, this is true. Our sins put Jesus on the cross on one hand. He died bearing my sin. I've heard it said, if I'd have been the only sinner, Christ would have died for me. I happen to believe that. To some extent. But don't ask the question or don't make the statement, why would Jesus, he was innocent, why did he have to die? Don't put yourself through that. Because he came to seek and save the lost. And the only way this was accomplished was by him becoming the curse of sin for us and under the judgment of God on our behalf, so that we who trust in him would never suffer the wrath of God, ever, but instead enjoy life everlasting, the life of God, being in that life forever and ever and ever. Let's look at the trials. I don't want the trial before Pilate. There's not a lot that needs a lot of explanation. We read it well. You can reread the scripture too. But in verses 38, 39, and 40, it's the beginning of the third trial. He's come back from Herod, we presume. And Pilate is in a mood for compromise. Now remember, Pilate was an ornery character. He was one that I think he would do things just to spit in the eye of the Jewish people. He despised the Jewish people, as most Romans did, but the Jewish people despised the Romans. So they got along perfectly according to what they wanted. They didn't like Pilate. Pilate didn't like them. But it's interesting here that Pilate seems to be in a mood for compromise, as he wants to compromise and just say, I find no basis for a charge against him, but it's your custom at Passover, I turn over. Let's do that. Maybe that'll calm you down, because remember, Pilate had he didn't have a large contingent of soldiers. Judea was really not well fortified as far as the Romans were concerned. The Jewish people could have overtaken them, but it would have been a bloodbath. Rome would have sent their troops in. But Pilate's trying to keep the peace. He was known for keeping the peace, even if it was by a strong arm. But release one prisoner. What do you think about that, guys? Can I release one prisoner to you? He knows this is a shoo-in. Who wants Barabbas? He led an insurrection. A real insurrection. That's my own editorial comment, by the way. He led an insurrection, a rebellion. Now, that was bad because a Jewish person leading a rebellion against Rome meant one thing. Rome was going to crack down. They would come in and you would know that Rome was bringing the peace. If you watch that movie, The Chosen, when you have the Roman soldier walk up, there's a scuffle between two Jewish people in a neighborhood, and Gaius comes up behind one of them, cracks him in the back of the head. This is how you keep the peace. They knew. Pilate was betting on the fact they didn't want this guy, this rebel, set free, because if he's out running around, that's going to bring potential danger to Israel's way of life. Rome let Israel live. Basically, they were still under their thumb, but they were at least able to practice their religion. So Pilate's compromise just might pay off. They shout back, "Not him. Give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas. Let us have him." Set Barabbas free. Pilate's in a pickle, because now his plan didn't work. But Pilate's in a mood for compromise. And so let's look at that in chapter 19 of Pilate's efforts to compromise. We just looked at one for sure. Actually, maybe two. Maybe the first one was, "I find no basis for a charge." Does that sound okay? "I find no basis." He could have said, "There's no charge. He's free." But instead, he's like, "I find no basis for a charge. You got a problem with that? Give me some feedback." "Yeah, I've got a problem with that." "Okay, well, it's my custom. It's your custom. I let somebody go. How about that? Choose between Barabbas or Jesus, the one I find no basis for a charge. Give us Barabbas. We want Barabbas." To compromise. Let's look at chapter 1, verse 19. Compromise. He hands Jesus over to be flogged. Unnecessary. If you found no charge, why would he do it? Plan 1 didn't work. Plan 2 didn't work. Maybe plan 3, I'll beat him. They'll see that I'm taking him seriously, and they'll let him go. They'll be satisfied. They were bloodthirsty. They wanted Jesus' head on a platter. Actually, they wanted him on a crucifix. The Jewish people wanted Jesus crucified, which, wow, God uses the wickedness of sinners to fulfill his will. They wanted Jesus crucified. Christ would bear the sins of the people on a cross, on a tree, which was signifying a curse before God. The Jews demanded crucifixion. They were right in God's will. So we're not mad at Jewish people. I hope you understand. As Christians, we are not mad at Jewish people, nor are we mad at Romans. They were ultimately fulfilling the will of God, which tells me something. No matter how evil gets, it's still on God's leash. Satan is on God's leash. So the unjust beating. Pilate's hoping to compromise. There's a word, a lesson to be learned for you and for me when it comes to compromise. Most of us compromise. We're going to say, "I'm principled. I don't compromise my political stand, period." But then we find ourselves compromising our spiritual integrity. Compromising the truth will always lead to a worse situation. I'm proud of that statement. Now, carry it out. Compromise with the truth will always lead to a worse situation. And the idea here is it's going to get worse for Pilate as he compromises. And he's put himself in a position where he has no choice but to eventually hand Jesus over. Evil is greedy. And evil will never, ever, 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 ever be satisfied. You will be tempted in your life with all kinds of temptations to the very day you leave this earth and go to be with the Lord. Until that time, you are going to be tempted in every way. And no matter how much you talk yourself into saying, well, I'll do it this one time and maybe I'll get a break. Evil is never satisfied. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15, it says, the leech has two daughters, give, give. In other words, and some translations say greed. But the idea here, the lesson is, evil has no conscience. Evil doesn't evil will never make a deal. Evil will never be satisfied. It will always say, one more. One more. One more. And every time Pilate compromised, every time, there was always a request for one more. You can see this in your own life, can't you? Can you see it? Don't play with temptation. That message is as much for me as it is for you. Because evil is never satisfied. The fourth compromise, Pilate allowed the soldiers to mock and beat Jesus. So let's humiliate him. We beat him. Now let's how far down can we take him? And look to the Jewish leaders. If he's a king, look how weak he is. We can do whatever we want to. He has no power, no prestige. What are you talking about? The Son of God, surely the Son of the gods, Pilate might would say, is going to have some authority and power. But look at him. We can crown him. We can robe him. We can beat him. We can slap him. We can mock him. We can spit on him. And he does nothing. What is your problem? Can't you see that this man is nothing? The Bible even says he made himself nothing. And it says this, took on the form of what? Made himself nothing, took on the form of sinful man. And yet this one who made himself nothing is being treated as though he's nothing. He took on the form of sinful man. Doesn't that kind of give you a click? This is what will happen to everyone who refuses to come to Jesus Christ. There is no claim of power or position that can cause you to stand before a holy God. Because this Son of God standing before the courts of humanity is treated as nothing. So I think that's a big lesson there. The fifth compromise, Pilate put Jesus before them. Now he makes this declaration, just what I was just talking about. Behold the man, look at him. Look at him, he's pathetic. And you guys are getting, you're all getting in a bind over this guy. But this is the one, the Bible would tell us, this one who became a man is the Son of Man. Behold the man. We're going to see him crucified, portrayed and on the cross next week as crucified, where you say, behold the man upon the cross, crucified. And there on the cross is your sin sacrifice, your offering before God, which comes through faith. Behold the man. There's so much, we'll probably come back to that, but the fact is, behold the man who stood in your place condemned. Behold the man who took upon himself your guilt, your shame, your humiliation, who didn't deserve not one word against him. And Pilate even saw it. But he didn't believe. But he stood in your place, condemned, humiliated, shamed, where you and I would be apart from Jesus Christ. And if you've never believed on him, it's where you will be. All your sins will be set forth. Every accusation will be made, and it will be true. When they accused Jesus of accusations and lies, they were pure lies. They weren't true. But everything that will be brought against you, if you've never believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior, at that great day, every accusation will be true. And not one of them will you be able to defend. Jesus is not one to be trifled with. But men and women and children trifle with him every day. Don't be one of those people. Pilate tried to convince them not to crucify him. Don't do this. Verse 12, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, it says, but the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. When that phrase, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, the language in the Greek, the words are, he frantically tried. It's like Herod, remember the word, plied Jesus. He was needling. He just kept on, show a miracle, do something, tell us something. Come on, Jesus, do it. Come on, Jesus, do it. It's like a breathless relentlessness trying to get Jesus to do something, perform for us. Now here Herod is breathlessly trying to set Jesus free. And he has the authority to actually do it, and he doesn't do it. Compromise will get you nowhere. Compromise will bring upon a worse... When you compromise the truth, it'll create a worse situation. You've probably experienced that yourself. You've told a story that wasn't true. I'll tell a funny story, but it was still... It may drive the point home. We used to watch some friend's dog. I hated us feeding that dog our good meat because we couldn't help it. We cook a hamburger for us, we cook one for our dog, and all right, we'll give one to this dog. And I became very stingy, close-handed toward that poor little dog. But I hatched a plan. I said to myself, when my wife gets home, I'm going to tell her that the owners of this dog said we're not to do that anymore. Seemed like a good idea to me. That had not happened. The owner did not tell me that, but I think I'm going to make a little compromise. This little compromise with the truth surely won't cause much trouble. So I tell Teresa that, and she rarely gets angry, but she flares up. She said, that's it. We're never watching their dog ever again. And it was so scary because I loved that little dog be around our dog, gave our dog something to do during the day, pick on their dog. So that seemed fun to me. But when she reacted like that, it created, my compromise with truth created a worse situation. It seemed like a good idea at the time, but it proved that it was not good. I say all that because I want you to remember that when you read Pilate's story, don't just read it and say, what a loser he is. Remember this for yourself this afternoon or tomorrow or Tuesday or Friday or when you're tired on a Sunday morning. Remember this. Remember this when you get your 30th phone call in the day or the 20th text message. Or the note in the mail or something like that just doesn't go your way. Remember it. There is no way out through compromise with the truth. And there's definitely no compromise with God. So let's go on. Let's look at Pilate. He tries to, he goes before Jesus one more time. And he's even more afraid. We've talked enough about that, really. You get the idea. He wants so much to set Jesus free. And I got to point out one thing, and that is about the Jewish leaders. They had the argument that even Pilate couldn't compromise. He had compromised truth. It created such a bad situation because he didn't stand on his authority. He was wishy-washy. As tough as he was a wimp when it came to standing before the teeth of angry people. He liked to dish it out, but now it's coming back at him and he didn't know what to do. So I'm making fun of him in a way, but not really, because I'm probably a whole lot less spined than he was. Point is, I'm making in verse 12, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, if you let this man go, you're no friend to Caesar. They knew something about Pilate. He was Tiberius's lapdog. He was loyal to Tiberius Caesar. He loved Tiberius Caesar. And now they're hitting Pilate where the one thing, it'd be like, if you do such and such, Dave, you obviously don't love your mom.
That's true.
So, you know what? But you get it, right? It's that type of thing where you know there's a line, and they hit it. They hit Pilate right where it counted. And anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar, and then they have the audacity to say in verse 15, we have no king but Caesar, as if that's a new way to say it. Maybe that's old now, but you don't even finish the statement, as if. I'm pretty cool. But you get the idea, as if they were friends with Caesar. They hated Caesar. They couldn't stand it. But they were willing to compromise. Everyone's willing to compromise. When it comes to looking at Jesus Christ and examining who he is and looking at the biblical evidence, most people will compromise the reality of what they see and hear, and they will turn on Christ and justify themselves, which is a damnable act. Keep that in mind. And when you talk to people, you can have as much biblical spine as you need. And it's good for people to be warned, because we're not playing around. Judgment is coming. And we see in John chapters 18, 19, 20, we see judgment is upon Jesus by God's design to give us relief from the judgment that is certainly coming upon all humanity. And it will come with speed and finality. And there will be no argument. You will not have God. You will not have the Lord trying to argue for guilty people to set them free. Jesus will only stand for those who have trusted in him. And God the Father will gladly receive all who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And he will easily turn away all who have mocked the Holy Son of God. He is not one to be trifled with. We would say Pilate would be one not to be trifled with. He held the power of life and death. And Jesus says, no, you don't. What you have, I'm telling you right now, Pilate, look at the strength of our Lord Jesus. Beaten, mocked, spit upon, abused in every way you can imagine. And he looks Pilate in the eye and says, you have no authority over me unless it were not given to you from on high. That's power.
Amen.
That is power. Well, what I want us to look at in verse 16, then we'll close just a couple minutes on this, and we'll talk more about it over the next few weeks, because one of the most essential doctrines for our Christian faith is understanding why Jesus was cast out. But we look here in verse 16, Jesus was rejected and cast away is the simplest way to put it. Pilate handed him over to be crucified, and out of that one statement there comes such theology that we'll look at a little bit more next week. We'll touch upon it a little bit. But this being cast out, he's being rejected by religion. He's being rejected by the world. So Jewish rejection, Roman rejection. And there is a strong sense biblically, and a case to be made, he was rejected by God for a moment, as he took our sins upon himself. And we'll talk more about that. But this being cast away, sent away to be crucified, meant he was sent out of Jerusalem. He was put out of Jerusalem, the city of God. And here they had the Son of God right before them, and they ignored the evidence. They refused to listen to his message, and they refused the law and the prophets, and they cast out the Son of God. And I got to say this, it's important, because the Jewish people have been maligned over the centuries, and there have been attempts to exterminate them on the grounds of they're the ones that crucified Jesus. They deserve to die. Every person, including you, if you're listening and never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, if you're sitting here and never trusted Him, every human being who ignores the testimony of Scripture and our words of our Lord Jesus Christ and everyone who rejects Him is no different. You're killing Christ in the sense of you're putting Him to death, saying He is not the one we hoped. I'm disappointed with Him. I reject Him. This rejection of Jesus being put out to be crucified, this cast out of the city, is but a mere instance in history of Him being rejected. The vast majority of humanity has cast Him out time after time after time after time. And the only way that you and I are saved from the judgment due us for when we've cast Him out is the precious blood of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, you have no hope. Even as a Christian, the Bible tells us that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely through His blood. So today, for you and for me, consider this. Do you count yourself as one who trusts in Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're free. You're free and you're saved. But if you count yourself today as one who says, I will stand toe to toe with anyone who would like to tell me about Jesus and I will prove them wrong, I can tell you this. You have no ability to even say those words apart from God granting you the grace to open your mouth. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for this passage. It's so hard and harsh, but yet the reality is so true. And I'm sure others will join me. We confess to You that we have a long history of compromising truth and seeing the worst situations arise. We thank You, though, for this glorious truth that through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All the mocking, spitting, humiliation, everything, the crucifixion, the pain, the physical pain, and then the spiritual pain of being rejected while You were our sin offering is but a reminder of where we would be apart from You. But we praise You that You did accept the offering of Your Son, that when the work was finished, there was that great victory shout, it is finished. And Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. We praise You for this great gospel, and I pray, Lord, if I've confused it for people in any way, that You would set it right to the praise of Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.